We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.
Hey, Owl Pellets, this is Brian Marshall and Kate here by the Owl Pellet. We are excited to be here with you today, and we have a very special guest, Dr. Steve Brown, Educational Program Specialist with the Office of Career and Technical Education in the U.S. Department of Education, also well known as the National FFA Advisor and Chairman of the Board of Directors for the National FFA Organization. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm honored.
All right. So, Steve, you have a very unique perspective, and I feel honored to have you here because I have worked with Steve for many, many years. I first met him when I was a young ag teacher in Illinois, and Steve was a state supervisor in Missouri, and we worked on a FFA leadership program together, and he's gone on to do great things, and I'm still here doing things. But we appreciate all that you do, Steve, to lead agricultural education in this state and FFA.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's an honor to be able to do so, and hopefully to help try to point this organization and the profession in the right direction.
So what we're hoping today, Steve, is to have a conversation here with you because you have a unique perspective and you can see things that are happening across the country as well as in various states. And so when you have an opportunity to sit down, what is something that you see happening or things that you think local ag teachers should be thinking about with their programs?
I think there's two or three things that local teachers need to be thinking about. Number one, what is the name of their program? Do they call it agricultural education? School-based agricultural education? Do they call it agricultural sciences? Or do they even consider calling it food, agriculture, and natural resources? The second thing would be, how do you deliver the three-component model, and are you delivering it with three equal components? And probably the final thing would be, how do you communicate with your community and in your public on what you're doing, what you are doing as a teacher within your program?
So, Steve, I've got a question about the first one. We see even at the college level, we see departments that include agricultural education. They're called all sorts of different things. How would you recommend teachers go about thinking about that? What's the difference between them? What does a name imply to who? And why does it even matter? Why can't we just keep calling them the Ag Ed program?
Well, some people call it that FFA program. They don't even recognize the agricultural part of it. I ask you the question, what do you think of, or what does the public or your community think of when they hear the word agriculture? It's not that agriculture is not important, but many times when the word agriculture is mentioned, almost exclusively people think of farming. And it's not that production agriculture is not important, but do they only associate your local program with farming? And it's a much broader base than that. So when you talk about even an agricultural education program, we've had the discussion, at least nationally, whether or not we should call it, what are we really about? We're really about, even if you go back to the Smith-Hughes back in 1917, we had a higher percentage of our population in production agriculture. So what were they doing? They were helping produce food to feed this country. So the question to me arises, really, are we really about food, agriculture, and natural resources? Is that really our focus? And should that be how we refer to the local program so that people have a better understanding of what you're all about?
Well, I'll tell the story. Just when I was teaching high school, just the years I was there, my title changed three times. Really, nobody knows why. I was hired as the agriculture instructor, then I became the ag and natural resources instructor, and then I became the agri-science instructor, just through different names from there. And did that really change what I was doing in the program? I think we're seeing that. And I think the essence of what you're talking about is having a name reflect really what we're doing and make sure those two things, it's not just changing the name, it's really making sure that our focus is what we should be doing here.
Well, Dr. Brown, you know, a lot of times people, you know, they'll say that our programs are community-based. And at times, you know, you'll hear parents and stakeholders and communities say, you know, our town isn't incredibly agricultural, and we really are just, we really are wanting the FFA circle to be bigger. We want that FFA circle to be the largest of the three, and that's what we're going to measure. That's what we want to see. We want to see banners on the wall. What would be your response, or how would you encourage an ag teacher in that sense?
Well, the program was founded on the three-component model of agricultural education. And I think that when things get out of balance, and I realize that FFA, and to me, is a valuable and vital component of our program. And it's really our brand. It's what a communication piece, and it's what people outside, many times outside the school district, sees, as well as it is our award system that we use to recognize students for their accomplishments in agricultural education. So it's a hard one, that's a tough one, but some of the things I think teachers need to think about, let's take just as simple as going to the National FFA Convention. When you go to the National FFA Convention, there appears to be many times the article is a picture of the paper with the students in the blue jackets, which is great, that type of thing, but it's talking about all the fun things they did at the convention, or that's what they communicate with the board. What I want them to do, I want to encourage teachers to do and really stress, what did you learn? What did the students learn? And if you could just, a part of that, talk about, well, here's something that every student, I learned about a different type of experiential learning program. I learned about this type of agriculture. I learned that these opportunities are there. I learned that these colleges and universities offer programs that I'm interested in because I may be, as a student, interested in more technology, such as about drones, that type of thing. And I think we've got to do a much better job of communicating that to our public so that they understand that we're more than just FFA. We're more than just that leadership component.
Well, I think that's great, Steve. And I remember that time when I was serving on the National FFA Board of Directors with you. One thing we talked about a lot was every student, every classroom, every day. And I think that's the important thing, too, to be thinking about with the FFA, that it's you know, the national events and the competitive events and those sort of things are great. But when we really, you know, my bias would be, we really think about it, we can make the biggest impact sometime on those students that may be that middle ground with the FFA. They may not be the ones that win all the awards that become all the state and national officers, which are very, very important. But the ones we really make a difference are those students that are in our classrooms every single day that are involved in that local program. And so how would you advise, you know, these teachers to balance those state and national events and the contests and competitive events from there with what they're doing at the local program?
Well, I would encourage them to make sure that, number one, they communicate through media, both news, social media, print media, radio, television, if it's available, about the things that students learn within their classroom and learn within their program, because it's not always within the classroom, but in their classroom, laboratory, and experiences that they have. What are they learning? And so highlighting a student's agri-science SAE, highlighting a student that is actually doing a research project in agri-science, highlighting the something that they've learned in the classroom or a topic that they're working on. Those are kind of things that we tend to overlook because we typically talk about the leadership and personal development through engagement in FFA. And I can't stray away from this topic, but also saying when you talk about every student, every classroom, every day, I'm a staunch, firm believer that every student in your agriculture, agricultural science program, however you want to title that, should be an FFA member. Because it's very easy, I don't know if it's easy, but it's very rewarding to work with the students that are eager about being involved in FFA activities. They want to serve as your officers, they want to serve on the committees, they're there showing them doing the things, but it's much more difficult for students that may not be as eager to do that. And those are the students, as you've identified, those are the students that we have the potential to make the most impact on. So So I believe that every student in your program deserves leadership and personal development through engagement in the FFA. And what set of standards do we use to do that? Is we have degree standards. And those degree standards are standards that we tend to still today tend to overlook, that student be able to speak, to be able to communicate, to be able to present the learned parliamentary procedure, and that every student should meet that minimal set of standards as they go through your program.
So, Steve, I want to back up for just a second on what you were talking about with the model. And I am thrilled to get the opportunity to actually ask you this, because I've been mulling it around for the last year and a half or so. And I don't think I could talk to a better person about your opinion is the one I'm really curious about getting. So I did a study about a year and a half ago with some Arkansas ag teachers, and it wasn't all the teachers, so we can't generalize too far, but we asked them to draw their three-circle model, with the circles being as large or small to indicate emphasis. And we found that, and then we asked them to do their ideal. They drew their ideal program. And then we compared the differences in the diameters of the circles, so the amount of emphasis between their current program that they run and their ideal program. And we found that there was a lot of difference, that regardless of which way they went, and yes, the majority had larger FFA or larger classroom and smaller smaller SAE programs as far as emphasis goes, but they, by and large, they all had the ideal being the three equal components, where they are all the same. And we saw this over and over. Very few programs actually ran that way, but they all wanted that, and that's what they viewed as ideal. And so we started thinking about teacher attrition and how we have teachers that get unsatisfied with their jobs and they end up leaving the profession, and it's a big deal because we've got such a shortage of ag teachers. And so we started thinking, is that really the model? Are we setting them up for failure by saying you have to have these three equal components in order to be a successful ag teacher, and that's what you should be shooting for? And we really kind of wrestled with that, and we don't have an answer. Should we be shooting for the three equal components, or is there a better way to, you know, to mediate that difference between what they're actually doing in their programs and what they're perceiving as the model program?
Great question. I'll give you what I think about that, or what I think. You know, the three-component model is a model. It's the ideal. Even if we think about the quality program indicators, or the secondary school quality program indicators, they indicate the ideal. So the ideal is that it's three equal components. It's a little bit like a lot of us set goals, but we don't always reach that goal. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't set the goal. So I believe that we should set the goal of three equal components. And that even we've not talked very much about it, but experiential service and work-based learning. And I hear in educational circles right now a real emphasis on work-based learning or apprenticeships. So, and I'm thinking, we have done that for years. Maybe we've not done as good a job as we should, but we have done that for years. And some of the things that nowadays I believe that we should consider as part of experiential and work-based learning, some years ago would not have been considered in that as a part of that component. So hopefully, I think that we still continue with the three equal components and try to empower our teachers to give them the tools needed to make sure, to help them to try to make each of them equal. It's very difficult in a local school setting with the demands of time and the number of students, but we got to think no different, think outside of the box, even in the experiential learning circle, and figure out how do we make sure that we can do group activities, or we get others to help us, or we use the alumni or whoever to help us with that experiential learning component.
The experiential learning component would be all three circles. You know, I would say that the classroom instruction has to guide the internship, which has to be led by a motivational structure. So I'd also say, you know, I think sometimes when we say the experiential component, we might kind of provide a little bit of a misnomer. That the classroom may not be applying to what we're doing in the internship. So I think that's kind of what I spend my time looking at and thinking about.
Now respond quickly to that.
Yeah, you bet.
That's the reason we took the lines out of the new component model. We took those dot, you can have dotted lines, solid lines, because it is a blending. And we tried to blend using a color model. We tried to blend those colors together because it's not the small, what I call slivers on the outside of that three component model are where it's very specific. The rest of it is more of a blending that all of those kinds of things work together. And you are correct that things within the classroom, instructional program, inquiry-based instruction, as well as FFA, are part of experiential learning.
So, you know, my big challenge is, I mean, when I look at, for example, just here in Oklahoma, we say we're career and tech ed, but I'm not sure we exactly are preparing people for careers. We're preparing people to become self-efficacious. We're preparing students to be confident and to be leaders. And really, if you ask most of our students, they're preparing for college, which ultimately then will prepare them and certify them for a career. So where does that fall in that puzzle?
Well, I guess my bias is, yes, we provide instruction in the context of agriculture. But what people really want is employability skills and the ability for that student to think. And that's one of the things I've tried to say, to be able to problem solve and to be able to look at a situation, no matter if it's in agriculture or it's somewhere else, that they're able to think and be able to solve problems. And that's what employers are telling us we want. Someone that shows up on time, someone to be able to work with others, and someone to be able to think through a situation and analyze it, whether it be in the context of agriculture or some other context or some other career. We have a lot of our students that don't necessarily go into the field of agriculture, but are very successful in whatever career field they choose.
Well, Steve, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. You know, we go back and it's the old cliche that everything old is new again. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of why we do what we do, how we got to these things. That three-component model of classroom, SAE, and FFA, which has that experiential learning going on through all different parts and pieces of those things to blend together, talking about how we communicate with others with what we do. As we wrap up here today, what are some questions that you have that you would like some more information on as you're from where you're sitting, things you're being asked, maybe some marching orders you have for those of us at the university level as we go back and work hand-in-hand with the ag teachers in the high school, middle school classrooms?
I have two things. I know in the environment that I'm currently working in, there's a large emphasis on inclusion and diversity and inclusion. So I would encourage us to look at, and as a local teacher, I think you also need to ask yourself, does my chapter officer team, does my FFA chapter, is it reflective of the diversity within our community as well as within our school? It is critical that we become more inclusive in agricultural education, not only with gender, but ethnicity, a variety of inclusive topics that we need to consider. So I would encourage us, as you look for research, do we reflect that? Because I have my instinct is that we may not, that we may not. And sometimes we define diversity as that we have females, and it's a lot much bigger challenge than that. The second thing, and we've been talking about, is the experiential learning. I think that Dr. Baker brings up an excellent point. We can tend to think experiential learning, the only way to define that is through records, and many times it's through financial records. That's our SAE, we call it. You know, it's through financial records. But really, truly, as he brings up, experiential learning is a bigger pot than that, or a bigger topic that we need to look at, and we need to figure out ways that we can document that there is experiential learning going on throughout the agricultural sciences program, and so that we need to figure out ways, how can we document that to show that we are providing that component within our program.
Great stuff. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate you being here with us today. It has been our pleasure to have Dr. Steve Brown, Education Program Specialist with the U.S. Department of Education and the National FFA Advisor and Chair of the Board of Directors for the National FFA Organization, with us today here on Owl Pellets. If you like this podcast, folks, we hope that you like us and follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. Now Owl Pellets is on Instagram. and also our WordPress site. So we are all over the interweb, as they say. Go out there, like us, follow us, share your information with other folks. Leave a comment for us on iTunes as we go through here trying to provide practical tips for ag teachers. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
You're quite welcome.
All right, folks, go out there, go be an ag teacher, go make a difference. Thanks, everybody.
We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.